last case for this morning, which is United States against Franklin. Yes, Ms. Lindsay.
May it please the Court, Rose Lindsay for Mr. Lewis Franklin. Your Honors, in this case, Mr. Franklin entered a Rule 11E1C plea agreement to an agreed term of 157 months. At the time he entered that plea, according to the anticipated guidelines range that the parties looked at, that plea of 157 months reflected a precise 40% reduction from that anticipated guidelines range.
But of course it didn't in the final analysis, because after the PSR comes in, turns out that was too low a range, and the range was really 292 to 365, and he still gets the 157 months.
That's true.
So why shouldn't we look at this as a plea agreement that's really for a certain number of months, not 40% below a range, not, you know, anything that is mathematically capable of calculation from a guidelines range?
I think the key inquiry here is looking at the plain language of 3582, which provides the authority for this type of reduction. That statute does not explicitly preclude specific types of 11C1C, or in this case 11E1C, agreements. It doesn't contemplate specific types of plea agreements being denied if it can simply be established that the sentence was based on a guidelines range and then that guidelines range was ultimately lowered.
But, you know, first of all, as you've certainly quite properly conceded in your briefs, quite a few of our sister circuits have read 3582C differently. And it seems to me, even if, and that's why I phrased it the way I did, even if you thought that, I'll call them C1C plea agreements because the rule's been renumbered, even if you thought that those that were mathematically capable of calculation from a guidelines range, like the if this agreement had said 40% below or something like that, even if you thought they fit within it, this man gets a certain number of months, and we have concrete evidence that it was independent of the guidelines range because we see what happens when it turns out the range was different. So why isn't he at least out of luck following the approach our sister circuits have taken to what that based on language means?
Again, I think it's important to go back to what 3582 requires and what it does not require. And in addition,
we also look at what Rule 11C1C talks about and what it doesn't talk about.
I agree that all of these different rules and statutes need to be looked at in terms of what they do and they do not say. And nothing is explicitly excluded in either 3582C or Guideline 1B1.10, which implements 3582, and Rule 11 as well. Rule 11 doesn't explicitly preclude an 11C1C agreement from a later application of 3582 if, for example, in this case, Mr. Franklin's plea agreement is silent about 3582 and a potential future application of that.
But what we've said in the past is, at least for some plea agreements, the agreement's the agreement. You know, the government sometimes drops charges. The government says, you know, for this one, you know, it's an agreement only if the judge agrees that it's 157 months, which, by the way, was a huge discount below his guideline, either guideline range. And we've thought that you would actually need to set the agreement aside, which I'm sure Mr. Franklin doesn't want to do. So what I'm worried about, actually, is whether the long-term effect of your position would be to deter the government from agreeing with a particular number of months, and at least some defendants, Mr. Franklin being one of them, sees that kind of agreement as something that's attractive, that reduces the outside risk of a new guidelines calculation.
I understand those potential concerns, but if we go back to the basic plain meaning of the term based on in the statute, I'm not sure that the other circuits are completely getting it right if we look at the plain meaning of that term as potentially meaning a foundation of, or even a starting point where the sentence could then go from there. And if we step back and we look at plea negotiation practice, and in particular in the practice that occurred with Mr. Franklin's case, here the guidelines were clearly contemplated, they were clearly considered in coming up with this 157-month sentence because it was a precise 40% off the anticipated guidelines at the time.
Let me ask you this. What work is that last phrase doing in 3582C under your view? Because the Supreme Court has told us now in an ever-increasing line of cases, you know, Booker, Kimbrough, Gall, whatever, that all sentences need to begin with a proper calculation of the guidelines. So the set of sentences, it sounds to me, in your view, that are based on the guidelines, the way you're talking about it, is 100% of sentences. So why is that phrase, based on the guidelines, even necessary?
Actually, Your Honors, I would say that our argument that we're presenting is not saying that 100% based on the language Your Honor just referenced. We wouldn't say that it would be 100% of guidelines, but
the guidelines are the starting point in 100% of sentences.
That is true. However, if we look at individual cases, we can see distinct circumstances when the guidelines are clearly not being based on for the ultimate sentence. For example, a person is charged in a conspiracy count. They're also charged in a phone count, which carries a statutory maximum of 4 years. Sometimes, if the government, the parties come together and say, the guideline range for this conspiracy count will be way excessive in terms of this person's relative culpability, they can then negotiate to a statutory maximum of 4 years with the phone count, which would more appropriately reflect that person's relative culpability. In that type of situation, the defendant is then capped with a statutory maximum of 4 years, and the ultimate sentence, if the court accepts the plea agreement, then that ultimate sentence is not in any way based on the guidelines range. So that's an example of where, of course, the guidelines are considered in the beginning, but that ultimate sentence steps away very purposefully from the guidelines.
But see, why isn't the same argument available for Mr. Franklin? Yes, at the very beginning, people were looking at the guidelines, but then because of his substantial assistance and because of, you know, those kinds of factors, all perfectly valid factors, they eventually come to this number, 157, that they stick with.
I think there's a concern here. If we look at it that way, what then happens with I just don't know if 3582 would warrant this the unfair result that would come from that. If we are looking at two people, Mr. Franklin, for example, and then someone else who went through the same negotiation process but for whatever reason chose to lock in 40% reduction later when the guidelines were calculated at sentencing as opposed to anticipated before sentencing, those two defendants are essentially in the same position. Their cooperation might be the same, their anticipated guidelines might be the same, but one chooses to lock into a sentence before sentencing, and one chooses to lock in after the PSR comes out. Why should they be treated differently under 3582 when the language of that statute doesn't require?
Interesting philosophic question. You're into your rebuttal time.
I will reserve the rest for rebuttal. Thank you so much.
Mr. Eldon.
May it please the Court, Barry Eldon on behalf of the United States. What Section 3582C2 says is it authorizes a district court to reduce a defendant's sentence that was based on a guideline range subsequently lowered by the Sentencing Commission. When a defendant pleads guilty pursuant to 11C1C to a specific sentence and the district court accepts that plea agreement, the district court is bound to impose that particular sentence.
Now, what I want to know, Mr. Eldon, is whether you would make the same argument if Mr. Franklin had entered into an agreement that said 40% below the guideline range.
If that had been the case, Judge, we would have agreed with the defendant to allow application of 3582C. And, in fact, Judge Gettleman makes reference of that in the district court and says, well, you know, when it's tied to a particular range in the plea agreement, where the range is in the plea agreement, the applicable guideline range is referred to in the plea agreement, there's 40% off. Judge Gettleman says we've been doing those by agreement. That is, the government has agreed to all of those.
But because those magic words are not in the agreement, Franklin can't get the reduction?
That's correct, Your Honor. Because
Santabella says a deal is a deal is a deal.
That is right. And the defendant...
It's binding on both sides.
It's binding on both sides. And, Judge, I can tell you from our practice, the usual practice is to have a percentage off. And it's rare that we agree to a specific number. And when a defendant agrees to a specific number, he's taking a risk, as in all plea agreements, the parties take risks. And in this case, at least initially, he felt, I got a good deal. Because had he done the 40% off, when the probation department raised the guideline range, his sentence would have been greater than 157 months.
What if the term had been to the number of months at the low end of the sentencing guideline range? Would you agree then that the defendant could get a reduction under 3582C?
Yes. If it was 11C1C, if the plea agreement said... It's agreed that the defendant will get the low end of the applicable guideline range, which is just a variation of our 60% of the applicable guideline range. Then it would fit within the terms of 3582, because the language of 3582 is the sentence based on a guideline range subsequently lowered by the Sentencing Commission. And if the reference is to the applicable guideline range, that was subsequently lowered by the Sentencing Commission. But that is not the case here.
But I thought what Judge Williams was getting at, which I'd wondered too, is originally the parties think that the range here is 262 to 327. And let's just suppose, for the sake of argument, that you didn't want to give them a 40% reduction. You just wanted to give them the bottom of the range. And so you entered into a plea agreement that said, Mr. Franklin's going to get a sentence of 262 months. Could we not draw the inference that that was supposed to be the bottom of the range? It is the bottom of the range.
It is the bottom of the range. It is the bottom of the range. It is not the bottom of the applicable guideline range.
Well, eventually, that turns into 292.
It's based on an error of law. We assume, we draw the inference was based on an error of law. And maybe, I don't know whether...
If it said 262, even though the guideline range winds up being 292, you would have stuck with the 262
yes.
on the Santabello
yes.
theory.
Yes, yeah. That's correct. We would have stuck with the 262. We would be bound by that. The district court is bound by that. And that is the problem with applying 3582 to an 11C1C agreement, because... The only way a defendant can get out from under a sentence imposed under 11C1C is to vacate the plea agreement.
Full agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And 3582 does not authorize the district court to vacate the guilty plea. It only authorizes the district court in appropriate circumstances to reduce the sentence. And that's why an 11C1C sentence to a specific number of months cannot be altered by 3582C. And counsel says, well, the parties may have considered the guidelines. The parties did not impose the sentence. The court imposed the sentence.
Of course, in the counsel, context of the sentence, though, the parties always consider the guidelines.
That's right.
You're not disagreeing with counsel's
not at all.
Description of how the plea negotiations work, because you always start with the guideline.
There is
then you look at the level of cooperation, and then you try to determine where the defendant might fit.
There's no dispute about that, and there's no dispute that the court undoubtedly considered the guidelines, and in fact was required by law to consider the guidelines. But we rely on the Sieslowski case. In Sieslowski, the defendant was sentenced under 11C1C before Booker came down. Then Booker came down. He came up on appeal and said, well, I want a Palladino remand. I want a Booker remand. This court said no, because this court said that a sentence imposed under 11C1C arises directly from the plea agreement itself, not from the guidelines, even though, this court said, even though the district court can and should consult the guidelines in deciding whether to accept the plea. Because Booker is concerned with sentences arising under the guidelines, it is inapplicable in this situation. Similarly here, 3582C2 is concerned with sentences arising under the guidelines, and therefore it is inapplicable here. We ask the court to affirm.
Anything further, Ms. Lindsay?
Yes, please. I would just add that Section 3582 does not require that a sentence be based solely on the guidelines. It just says based on. And from that, and looking at the interplay between 3582, 1B1.10, which also contemplates these different types of 11E1C or C1C plea agreements, how can we say then that a Rule 11C1C plea immutably binds the court when a criminal defendant with liberty interests at stake enters into an agreement that is silent as to the future application of 3582? Shouldn't it be construed in his favor when he is the one who will not get a
date? You could put something in the agreement unless the deal gets better as a result of some changes in the law, in which case the whole thing is up for grabs. Santabella was a great boon to everybody, particularly to the defendants, because it forced the government to live up to its obligations to live up to the agreement. What you want to do is abrogate it on one side whenever a deal looks better if you get rid of it. And that strikes me as being fairly dangerous from the point of view of the defendant as well as the prosecutor.
Because your position is that the whole plea should be vacated, right?
Actually, no, Your Honors.
Because, I mean, that's a problem for you since it's that, you know, that 1C1 or the C1. I'm always into 11E1C because that's what I grew up with. But that's a problem for you, right?
Actually,
Because it would have to be vacated.
I don't see a need for the plea to be vacated if 3582 and the interpretation of that term based on permits that interplay with 11C1C.
The deal we made wasn't as good as one we could have got if we waited another 10 years. That's, you know, life is like that. They used to hang people for being a hitchhiker. We don't do it anymore.
I see my time has expired. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you very much. Thanks to both counsel. We will take the case under advisement. The court will be adjourned until tomorrow morning.